the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday, a brand new week coming to you live, well, live and on tape here. Nicole Sandler here. What a day. I spent the morning at the doctor. I had a CAT scan last week. For those who don't know, I think everybody who listens knows by now that last summer I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And luckily we caught it early. I'm one of the very lucky ones who caught it early enough that surgery was all I needed. They removed the lower lobe of my left lung and took a wedge resection out of the upper lobe of my left lung. I had two separate tumors, two separate and distinct cancers in my left lung, which was weird. And weird considering we caught them both early enough to get them out of my body with surgery. I didn't need chemo or radiation. And now I'm in a regimen where I get a CAT scan. First, it was every 3 months. Then it was every 4 months. And now my doctor said, let's make it 6 months. And I said, that's good. Because I was worried, you see, that because our new president has killed the cost-sharing reductions in the Affordable Care Act, I may not have insurance next year. And I was thinking this might be my final CAT scan of this regimen because I may not be able to afford health insurance. But there is breaking news. I wish I had a breaking news sound effect where, you know what, I had it on Twitter. Let me see if I can find it here. Hold on. Ah! If you saw what my desktop just did, you would understand why I was laughing. Here, from NPR Radio. Leaders of the Senate Health Committee say they have a deal in principle on extending cost-sharing reduction payments for 2 years. This is the Lamar Alexander, Patty Murray thing that the HELP Committee has been working on. Health, Education, Labor, and Pension, I believe, is what the HELP Committee stands for. And they've been working on this for a while. But Mitch McConnell kept killing it because every time they'd bring up another repeal bill, Mitch McConnell would kill what the HELP Committee was working on. But apparently they have come to a deal on this. Now, this afternoon, Donald Trump met with the Prime Minister of Greece in the Oval Office following yesterday's very long surprise press conference. You know, today, when he has another world leader in the Oval Office, they go outside afterwards on a nice day like today, go out to the Rose Garden, and they do what's known as a two and two. Each of the presidents, or the president, the prime minister, each get two questions from a reporter that they choose, and the reporter gets to ask each of them a question. So they known as a two and two. And in the two and two, just a day after declaring Obamacare was dead, Trump seemed open to this. So let's recap, shall we? This was just yesterday in that cabinet meeting. This is Trump declaring Obamacare dead.
As we meet, Republicans are meeting with Democrats because of what I did with the CSRs, because I cut off the gravy train. If I didn't cut the CSRs, they wouldn't be meeting. They'd be having lunch and enjoying themselves.
Oh,
all right?
Good to
They're
know.
Right now having emergency meetings to get a short-term fix.
They were having the meetings before.
Where premiums don't have to double and triple every year like they've been doing under Obamacare. Because Obamacare is finished. It's dead. It's gone. It's no longer, you shouldn't even mention, it's gone. There is no such thing as Obamacare anymore. It is and I said this years ago, it's a concept that couldn't have worked. In its best days, it couldn't have worked. But we're working on some kind of a short-term fix prior to the Republicans getting together, maybe with some Democrats. Again, it's obstruction, but maybe with some Democrats to fix health care permanently.
Okay, so that was what he said yesterday, although you heard there was that thing, we're working on a fix. Well, the fix had been in the process of being worked on, except it was going through a bunch of stops and starts because they kept pulling it. Well, now, today, after the meeting with the Greek prime minister, he was asked this question.
Apparently, Lamar Alexander has said he's made a deal with Senator Patty Murray to stabilize Obamacare. Has the White House been involved in those negotiations, and will you support that deal?
Yes, we have been involved, and this is a short-term deal because we think ultimately block grants going to the states is going to be the answer. That's a very good solution. We think it's going to not only save money, but give people much better health care with a very, very much smaller premium spike. And you look at what's gone on with that. Also, much lower deductible so they can use it. Lamar has been working very, very hard with the Democratic, his colleagues on the other side, and Patty Murray is one of them in particular.
She's the ranking member.
They're coming up, and they're fairly close to a short-term solution. The solution will be for about a year or 2 years, and it'll get us over this intermediate hump because we have, as you probably know, we have either have the votes or we're very close to having the votes.
No, you don't have the votes.
And we will get the votes for having really the potential of having great health care in our country. So they are indeed working, but it is a short-term solution so that we don't have this very dangerous little period, including dangerous period for insurance companies, by the way, for a period of 1 year, 2 years, we will have a very good solution, but we're going to have a great solution ultimately for health care. Okay. And they are working together. And I know very much what they're doing. Okay.
Sure you do. Now, he doesn't have a clue what they're doing, but the good news is he's saying that he does. And he's saying that it could be a 1 or 2 year fix, in which case, I can breathe a sigh of relief because that means at least, you know, look, if I can just get through the next year and the next year, you know, I'll turn 58 in a few weeks. Never have I wished I was 7 years older before in my life, but maybe when, no, not even then. No, never have I wished I was 7 years older, but if only I was turning 65, then, you know, I'd be going on Medicare, but that's not happening. You know, I am dependent, as are millions of others, on the Affordable Care Act, and I'm dependent on those subsidies to be able to afford it. So hopefully this goes through. Now, what I was reading before, Mitch McConnell is saying that he's not even sure it'll be brought up. Patty Murray, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, said details are still being finalized. The deal has been embraced by Chuck Schumer. I'm reading from NPR's Twitter stream here. Senate Majority Leader, here you go, Mitch McConnell said a way forward had not been discussed and he would not commit to bringing it up for a vote. What, you know... And Donald Trump goes on and on about how the Democrats are obstructionists. Yeah, it was just a little bit in that piece I played, but in one of the clips I have here that I was pulling from the press conference yesterday, oh my God, he went on and on and on about how the Democrats, they're not good politicians. It's not good politics, but they're great obstructionists. Where was he for the last 8 years? The 8 years that Barack Obama was in office, and the Republicans did not come to the table once, not once. And, you know, this is just the hypocrisy, the typical hypocrisy. And I wish somebody in the media would bring that up. Although I got to say, the media lately has been pushing back on him. Most notably yesterday in the press conference, and I'm not going to play it for you now because I have it in What's News, but the question about the four Green Berets who were killed in Niger. The question was not, did you call their parents or their families? The question was, why have you not said anything about them? It's been over 2 weeks since these four soldiers were killed in action fighting for our nation, and the commander in chief hasn't said one word, hadn't tweeted a word, and of course he made the answer to the question be all about him. Oh, and of course Obama, because any chance he has to smear Obama, he'll take. This thing has just gotten way out of hand to the point where today Trump said, well, ask John Kelly if Obama called him when his son was killed in Afghanistan. He is a despicable creature. I know Hillary's word was deplorable, and there's a reason I don't use it. Just despicable. He is a sorry excuse for a human being. Just insane. By the way, maybe Obama didn't call them personally, but John Kelly and his wife were at a Gold Star family breakfast with the Obamas. They sat at Michelle Obama's table. So I don't think John Kelly was complaining, but who knows? It's just me. We'll talk about this a little more with Gotta Laugh when she joins us after our look at what's news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump held a hastily arranged press conference in the Rose Garden on Monday afternoon with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell by his side. For over 40 minutes, he touted his own performance and took 31 questions covering a number of topics, including his relationship with McConnell.
We just spent quite a bit of time inside with the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, who has been a friend of mine for a long time, long before my world of politics, early into his world of politics, I think. But we've been friends for a long time. We are probably now, despite what we read, we're probably now, I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, closer than ever before.
Trump was asked about his lack of any comment about the four American soldiers who were killed 2 weeks ago in Niger, using his non-answer to cast aspersions on President Obama.
Have we heard anything from you so far about the soldiers that were killed in Niger, and what do you have to say about
them? I've written them personal letters. They've been sent, or they're going out tonight, but they were written during the weekend. I will, at some point during the period of time, call the parents and the families, because
he's
I have done that traditionally.
He is such a liar.
I felt very, very badly about that. I always feel badly. It's the toughest calls I have to make are the calls where this happens. Soldiers are killed. It's a very difficult thing. Now, it gets to a point where, you know, you make four or five of them in one day is a very, very tough day. For me, that's by far the toughest. So the traditional way, if you look at President Obama and other presidents, most of them didn't make calls. A lot of them didn't make calls. I like to call when it's appropriate, when I think I'm able to do it. They have made the ultimate sacrifice. So generally, I would say that I like to call. I'm going to be calling them. I want a little time to pass. I'm going to be calling them. I have, as you know, since I've been president, I have. But in addition, I actually wrote letters individually to the soldiers we're talking about, and they're going to be going out either today or tomorrow.
Peter Alexander of NBC News followed up on that.
And earlier you said that President Obama never called the families of fallen soldiers. How can you make that claim?
I don't know if he did. No. I was told that he didn't often, and a lot of presidents don't. They write letters. I do. Excuse me, Peter. I do a combination of both. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do, but I do a combination of both. President Obama, I think, probably did sometimes, and maybe sometimes he didn't. I don't know. That's what I was told. All I can do is ask my generals. Other presidents did not call. They'd write letters, and some presidents didn't do anything. But I like the combination of, I like when I can.
How about just saying something to the American people?
Trump continued to blame the residents of Puerto Rico for not doing enough for themselves and congratulated himself on doing a great job in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria.
Puerto Rico is very tough because of the fact it's an island. But it's also tough because, as you know, it was in very poor shape before the hurricanes ever hit. Their electrical grid was destroyed before the hurricanes got there. It was in very bad shape, was not working, was in bankruptcy, owed $9 billion. And then on top of that, the hurricane came. Now, you're going to have to build a whole new electrical plant system. We have done, I will say this,
We have, well, we've delivered tremendous amounts of water. Then what you have to do is you have to have distribution of the water by the people on the island. So we have massive amounts of water. We have massive amounts of food, but they have to distribute the food. And they have to do this. They have to distribute the food to the people of the island. So what we've done is we now actually have military distributing food, something that really they shouldn't have to be doing.
Earlier in the day, the president held a cabinet meeting. He touted his sabotage of the Affordable Care Act and declared that there is no such thing as Obamacare anymore.
Obamacare is finished. It's dead. It's gone. It's no longer, you shouldn't even mention, it's gone. There is no such thing as Obamacare anymore. It is and I said this years ago, it's a concept that couldn't have worked. In its best days, it couldn't have worked. But we're working on some kind of a short-term fix prior to the Republicans getting together, maybe with some Democrats, again, it's obstruction, but maybe with some Democrats to fix health care permanently.
Senator John McCain was awarded the Liberty Medal by the National Constitution Center Monday. He used his acceptance speech to slam half-baked nationalism on display in the Trump administration.
To fear the world we have organized and led the three-quarters of a century, to abandon the ideals we have advanced around the globe, to refuse the obligations of international leadership and our duty to remain the last best hope of Earth for the sake of some half-baked, spurious nationalism cooked up by people who would rather find scapegoats than solve problems. is as unpatriotic as an attachment to any other tired dogma of the past that Americans consigned to the ash heap of history. I got
good news. And that's a bit of What's News for Now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, heard weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider a contribution as our work is 100% listener funded. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Okay, you know what time it is.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, because Gotta Laugh joins us every Tuesday right around this time to, you know, look at the Twitters and talk about the news and shoot the shit. Hello, hello.
Yes, you've reached the Trump Big Lying Session hotline.
Ah, good timing.
Yes, indeed. Press 1 if you think the White House press corps should all just collectively blow into kazoos every time Trump lies.
Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be.
It would just be a bunch of kazoo noise. Mm-hmm. Anyway, press 2 if you think Trump suddenly praising Mitch McConnell is about as meaningful as Chris Christie suddenly praising kale. Press 3 if you think Trump lying about Obama not calling families of fallen soldiers while bragging that he calls and he writes letters was just his way of telling us he finally learned how to use a crayon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Except he lied, too. He's so full of shit. You know, he's just like, oh, yeah, I spent the weekend. That's right. Yeah, I wrote the letters, and they'll go out tonight or tomorrow. Tonight or tomorrow.
He had not
sure.
written any letters, and they didn't go out. He's full of crap.
And it wasn't even about writing letters or calling the family. It was why hadn't he said a word? Why was there no mention made at all of these four soldiers who were killed in the line of duty?
Exactly. And he's using his usual little trick of taking the issue that everybody is piling onto where he is at fault and then focusing on something else that's somewhat related. But we all start talking about that instead, which everybody started to do is talking about, well, did Obama call John Kelly? And, you know, It you know, I have a tweet up. I'm going to use it now if I can find it. Here it is from Howie Klein, because we're talking about this. Justin, President Obama did not call General John Kelly when his son was killed in Afghanistan in 2010. White House official tells NBC News, which is meaningless. That. And then Howie Klein followed up with, yeah, he and his wife were invited to the White House to honor fallen U.S. soldiers instead. They sat with Michelle Obama. Kelly's complaining?
Right. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. Right, exactly.
You can't believe anything, he says.
And John Kelly has been very, I can't imagine he'd want his son, his now dead son, injected into this kerfuffle, if you will.
Right.
Apparently, not too long after his son was killed, he was being introduced somewhere where he was speaking, and John Kelly had to ask them, please don't say anything about my son.
Yes, right. Right.
I can't imagine he's happy with this at all, being dragged into the middle of this.
Right. And he would hate this.
And the other thing is, nobody said that Obama called the families of every fallen soldier.
Right.
But he did call families. I mean, and what Dump alleged was that he didn't.
Right. He gets caught.
Mm-hmm.
And he then diverts attention to his whole reason to live, raison d'être, as it were, is to fight with people, because that's his existence. He only understands fighting and any kind of I guess even violence, you know, anything that has to do with combat.
Right.
And I'm not talking
military. You hit me, I'll hit you back. Now he's picking on John McCain again. John McCain had some pretty powerful words against Trump in this speech
that he made
last night when he was accepting his Liberty Medal. But Trump is like, yeah, my patience is wearing thin. He better watch out because, you know, it won't be pretty. It won't be pretty. Yeah.
As if John McCain cares about his words. About anything. John McCain has endured a lot more and is enduring a lot more as we speak with his brain cancer. And he's going to worry about Trump's big threat about using nasty words? Really?
Right. Well, the thing is, you know, John McCain's not going to run for any more re-election. So he's got that, you know, that thing taken away. So, boy, it's amazing. When you're no longer running for office, you don't worry about what people are saying about you or what you say so much anymore. All bets are off at that point.
And that's a shame that people have to hold office via donations. I mean, you know, if we didn't have that, if they weren't worried about the rabid base that they worry that Trump is going to sick on them during primaries, they should all be able to say what they stand for.
They should all
be honest.
It's a good argument for term limits.
It is.
I know.
Although I worry a little bit about. I mean, I have mixed feelings about that.
So do I.
But I
absolutely do. I'd love Bernie Sanders to be in the Senate forever. There are some people who make great career politicians, but you know what? The House of Representatives was never meant to be a career.
Right.
It was supposed to be the people's house. That's the lower chamber was always supposed to be more of a sort of a transient nature where people would come
in,
they'd serve a term or two and leave. Even Howie, I forget who it was. I want to say, it's the guy, he's a congressman from Texas who is running against Ted Cruz.
No,
he's in Wisconsin. That's Randy Bryce.
okay.
And he's a punk rocker and he's a great congressman, but he's just now in his second term. And I'm glad that, and I mentioned this to Howie, I'm just drawing a blank on his name for the moment. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking of it. And I mentioned it to Howie last week. You know, I'm glad that he's running against Ted Cruz. The bummer is, though, that, you know, it is certainly an uphill battle. And Beto O'Rourke is his name. O'Rourke. Oh, he's great.
Cool.
But the bummer would be that he'll be out of Congress. And Howie said, you know what? Even when he first ran for Congress, he always said, you know, he believes in term limits and he doesn't think that you should serve more than two terms in the House or the Senate. And so he's holding himself to that. So regardless, he wouldn't be in the House anyway. So he's challenging Ted Cruz for the U.S. Senate.
All right. Well, good. also we have the problem of gerrymandering, you know, so we, you know, whether we have term limits or not, we've got to get rid of gerrymandering too, because we end up with the same people or the same type of person over and over again, and that is not helping.
That's right.
Well, not to mention voter suppression, but
right,
that's a whole different story.
That's another story. And gerrymandering is yet another story. And, you know, that's one that the Supreme Court took up. And this is why Anthony Kennedy is so important on that court, because it's really all going to come down to him.
Oh, and I'm so tired already of hearing Trump crow about Gorsuch and, you know, look who we got in. I mean, the whole thing was such a scam, a sham. Oh, I'm getting all kinds of messages. I'm turning my phone off. He's an illegitimate justice, and
yes,
and we have to now have him throwing the balance into the conservative lane again. I mean, we are really screwed if one more goes. We are really screwed.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I didn't read the article. I saw a headline in passing somewhere that Trump is predicting he's going to have four justices to replace.
Oh,
he's predicting
God.
Two of the women will die. So I guess he's predicting I don't even want to say it, but there are three women on the court now. He's predicting two of them will go while he's in office.
Two. I mean, why two?
I don't know.
I understand.
Sotomayor and Kagan are kind of young.
Yeah, and Sotomayor isn't old.
No, that's what I said. But
I thought you said.
They're kind of young. Sotomayor and Kagan are young, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg isn't going anywhere. Damn it.
Right. Not if she can help it anyway. But two, that's what I'm not understanding, but okay.
It's Trump. Look, he speaks first and thinks never. So,
yeah,
you know,
he can't, he cannot think. He has no capability to think, to reason, or even to speak,
to
think of
it. Well, that's true. But it hasn't stopped him yet, though. He just keeps running off at the mouth. You know, usually I feel that way about Republicans. Although I am getting a sort of perverse pleasure of hearing Republicans more and more criticize him. You know, it used to be, if I'm watching MSNBC or CNN and they, you know, bring on a Republican or a former congressman, like MSNBC has this guy, David Jolly, on contributor.
Yeah.
Why? He was like a nothing Florida congressman backbencher who never did anything. I think he only served a term or two in Congress, never did anything of note. And now that he's out, he's a contributor on MSNBC, which means they pay him to come on and talk, which I don't get. I don't understand why.
Because he's a Republican who will speak out against Trump.
I guess. So I think this was just today. This was today it was last night with, Lawrence O'Donnell.
Honest with you, Lawrence. I personally, as a Republican, in the past few weeks have wondered, is the Republic safer if Democrats take over the House in 2018? I raised that issue with a leading Republican in D.C. last week, and the remarkable thing is he had been thinking exactly the same thing. This is a president that needs a greater check on his power than Republicans in Congress have offered.
And I'm sure it's not only the two of them. I'm sure a lot of Republicans are feeling that way now. I just hope enough Democrats come out and vote in November.
I hope the Democrats not only come out and vote, but that they can, like we were saying, overcome the obstacles when it comes to voting.
Yep. The gerrymandering, the voter suppression, the having to get the IDs. That's why, you know, I know it's still over a year away, but now is the time to make sure you're registered, to make sure you have the proper identification, because it's going to be a constant battle.
Right. The time, if you have to register, to make sure you have a ride if you can't get there on your own, as well as the proper identification if you have to pay for it, to start scraping up your money to pay for something you shouldn't have to pay for. So there's so many obstacles, even just to registering. So what are you going to do here? You know, you got to help each other, I guess.
Yep.
Nobody else is out there. Anyway, you want to do some tweeties?
Let's do it. Whoops, wrong button. Let's go here. Here we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay. So
yesterday's presser, I have a bunch of them because it was such an insane press conference, which boiled down to Trump saying everything is fantastic. The Dems are big meanies because even though we own government, they vote against us.
Right.
What's Russia? Never heard of Russia. Blame Obama. I'm great. Did I mention I'm great?
I'm doing a great job. I'm doing the best job ever. the best of any president ever.
Right. So here's what Trump tweeted in 2012. Obama's complaints about Republicans stopping his agenda are BS since he had full control for 2 years. He can never take responsibility.
Oh, there was a tweet for everything.
Everything. Boy, did that one get play. I threw it up there. I saw it in somebody else's feed. I threw it up there and it went round and round and round. People really like that one because it is so spot on.
Yep.
Anywho, former Obama Deputy Chief of Staff, Alyssa Mastromonaco,
yes,
was so mad about Trump lying about Obama not calling the families of the fallen soldiers. She tweeted out, and a lot of people have probably already seen this one because it's sort of making the rounds on TV too, but she wrote, "That's a fucking lie. To say President Obama or past presidents didn't call the family members of soldiers killed in action, he's a deranged animal."
Yeah, that one got a lot of play. Last night it was everywhere. It was one I retweeted, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that was
And you know what? He just made it up. He just said it because he didn't have an answer to the question. And again, the question wasn't, did you call the parents or family members of these four soldiers? It was, why haven't you said anything about our four fallen soldiers?
Right. Why haven't you so much as acknowledged them? The same way he didn't acknowledge the earthquake in Mexico and a number of other things. He just lets them go by.
But this is four American soldiers who were killed in action. And as heinous as it was for him to ignore the earthquake in Mexico and other natural disasters. Think about Benghazi. Four Americans dead and totally different circumstances, and look at what the Republicans did in that whole thing.
And continue to this day
with Benghazi, Tourette's. And yet these are four soldiers who were in Niger. I mean, why do we even have soldiers in Niger? Why are we fighting there? I mean, this is something that we don't even know about. And
there's been no debate, no talk of it. Nobody knows why we're there.
Right. And yet four soldiers, they were ambushed by ISIS fighters, apparently. And he says not one word, not a word of condolence to the families, not a national, day of mourning or nothing, not a word. And he turned it all around to what he likes to do, how he likes to handle it, whether it's calling the families or writing a letter. And I actually like to do both. Nothing about what the families are going through. Nothing about these young men gave their lives for our nation. Nothing. It's all about him.
Oh, and then he said, was it this morning on a talk show, on a radio talk show on Fox, of course, that he's the only he said, I know other presidents have done, have called or they've written letters. I'm the only one that's called every single one. And then he sort of stopped and goes, well, virtually every single one. Such an idiot.
Virtually.
By the way, there is a breaking news that Robert Hill, NYC, posted that broke a bit ago, and that is that the federal judge in Hawaii blocked Trump's newest travel ban, newest Muslim ban.
Yes, it's Muslim.
And that's
ban.
A national thing. So it applies to everywhere. It doesn't just apply to Hawaii. Okay, so Tommy Veeder, is that how you say it? I don't know. Former National Security Council spokesman for President Obama, he tweeted, and by the way, this caused a little stir, and I wish I had saved the thread, but I don't have it. He tweeted, asking Trump to comment on what Hillary said about the NFL is a stupid clickbait question and a wasted opportunity to push him on real issues. Do better. And then I forgot which the person that asked the question, but one of the journalists on one of the stations, one of the networks, got into a little kerfuffle over that and said, I beg your pardon.
It was at the press conference. And you know what? Because it was so hastily arranged. They weren't planning on, or if they were planning on it, somebody foobarred it because they didn't put chairs out. There were no mics for the reporters. So they were shouting out their questions. You couldn't, for the most part, couldn't hear what the reporters were asking. I did hear there was a question about Hillary Clinton. Of course, Trump turned that around to, what, is she running in 2020? I hope she runs in 2020. I hope she runs again. I was wondering why there was a question about Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
Right.
He tweeted it, for one thing. He had tweeted in the morning, I hope Hillary runs again. Crooked Hillary.
Oh, God.
That's why that question was brought up.
I thought he tweeted it after The press conference. Okay.
Yeah, it was on early in the morning. The first thing I do is I check my well, I don't have to check. On the front of my phone, I get alerts about everything, and I saw that the tweet, and I went, oh, here we go. Anyway, so Daniel Dale, who I love, from the Toronto Star, kind of agreed. He said, I constantly feel like questions to Trump could be phrased so much less gently, made so much harder to dismiss and evade. They did nail him on the soldier thing, you know,
yes,
on the fallen soldier.
That Peter
thing,
but, Alexander did, and it came back to it. But you know what? Somebody was at one point was asking him a question. I don't even remember what it was about, but she couldn't even get her question out. He decided to answer what he wanted the question to be before she finished, and then he like yelled at her for continuing to ask her question before she was done.
Right, and so, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Peter Alexander started to follow up with a yes, but you said, and he cut him off too.
Probably.
So he's lucky he got what he got in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But somebody on Twitter today asked me, you know, why don't these reporters follow up, and why don't they? I said because Trump doesn't let them.
Yeah.
They start and he talks over them.
There were 31 questions in 40 minutes. I mean, he blasted through them and without answering. I mean, he barely answered a question.
Yeah.
He talked a lot, but he didn't really answer any questions.
No, he said what he wanted to say, what he wanted to get out there.
Yeah.
And that's why he holds the press conferences, and that's why I guess anybody does. But no, I mean, he doesn't take the questions to heart at all, of course, unless he feels he has to defend himself, which is most of them anyway.
Right.
So Digby said, watching the hostage named Mitch McConnell standing, it was like Chris Christie all over again, standing next to Trump like a little lapdog. And she said, good boy, Mitchie, lick his hand, wag your tail.
Yeah.
But it was pathetic watching. It felt to me, and I think I heard somebody else say this on TV, in fact, that Mitch McConnell was there to be humiliated. Trump humiliated him. He had him up there. He was a prop. We're good buddies. He made him endure that, and he went willingly along with it.
Yes, because that's his lot in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's sure not getting anywhere, so I guess he thought he'd try this too. Hunter Walker from Yahoo News said, nothing proves you're getting along with someone like a hastily called press conference where you insist you have a great relationship.
Nice.
And then Alex Seitzwald, was he New York Times? I forgot to put that up there. And said, and then surprise him by announcing you have a new economic development plan you haven't told him about.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was MSNBC, but I could be wrong.
Oh, he might. Well, yeah, but I think he's also a journalist for one of the newspapers. Michael Shear from Washington Post did this. Bannon, colon. I love Trump. This is war. Trump, colon. I love Bannon. There is no war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trump likes to have it both ways. He can speak out of both sides of his mouth better than anybody else. You know, like in one sentence, it was Obamacare is dead. And then in the next sentence, it's like we're going to have a 2-year fix.
Oh, I have that up there for tweets you haven't seen yet. I actually have something like that up there, but
okay.
It was really terrific how when they came in with the news about this sort of tentative agreement on health care, how Obamacare upstaged Trump while he was talking about Obamacare being dead.
Right.
Literally at the same time,
yes.
Within seconds, he said, Obamacare is as good as dead. This is today, you know. And then all of a sudden, there's a Chiron and you're seeing, you know, tweets about, hey, you know what? We just had this little agreement and Obamacare is going to be okay for a while.
Hope. So we hope. It's not definite. And Mitch McConnell still has to bring it up for a vote and it's going to need 60 votes. So, you know, don't count your chickens yet. But,
oh, no way. I mean, he said he wasn't even going to bring it up to the floor yet, didn't he? Didn't McConnell say that?
He said there's no guarantee he'll bring it up for a vote. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all right.
Actually, don't count my chickens yet.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't count on anything.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, anything that Congress does, that Trump says, there are no promises that I believe. When it happens, it happens. And as Maddow says, watch what they do, not what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree with that.
Yeah.
In these days, especially. I mean, it's bad enough with regular politicians, but when you have a total moron who doesn't know politics and doesn't know how to govern, then you really can't pay attention. All right, so LOL GOP, our buddy who we love, who I did listen to. I did listen to the podcast when you had him on.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He said, how do you know Trump knows his presidency depends on cutting rich donors' taxes? He's willing to kiss Mitch's ass.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. And by the way, they don't get their tax cuts unless they get this budget. And
right.
And so that's what they're all, you know, going on about now.
And they only have one vote to lose now. There's only they don't have all the votes yet.
Right.
If they lose one vote, I just saw this. Rand Paul, I think I have a tweet up. I may not. I can't remember. But I think Rand Paul says no.
Right.
And it was down to one person. So,
well, they can lose one more. They can't lose a third one is where they're at.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. Let's see if I get this right. Anna Masoglia. Masoglia.
Okay.
That's a nice name. Masoglia. She's from Bloomberg. But okay. I like her name. It sounds like some kind of Italian food. She said,
curly noodle. It's like a curly noodle.
Yeah, exactly. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross quietly moved big money into trust, didn't disclose $2 billion in ethics finance disclosure.
$2 billion. How do you not disclose $2 billion in a finance disclosure?
Well, why don't we ask Jared Kushner?
Yeah,
about that.
You know, good question. And well, you know, he gets it because of nepotism. But Wilbur Ross, I don't think, is related to anyone. $2 billion. That's not just like a little oversight. That's a big oversight.
Right. And so CNN's Steve Vladek said, well, yet another story to remember the next time anyone complains that financial and ethics vetting unduly slowed down the confirmation process. That's the problem. This extreme vetting, it doesn't apply to anybody in Trump swamp.
Right.
It only applies to Muslims wanting to come into our country.
I suppose.
Pretty stupid. Pretty rude.
Delilah.
Did I add an? No, I copied her name from the thing. There's
it's okay.
an I in there.
Yeah.
O'Malley. Anyway, whatever. She's an anti-Trump Republican. And this was say that Trump said no other president called families of fallen troops.
Uh-huh.
She said, when my brother was killed, President Bush listened while I screamed at him and then held me as I sobbed, you fat fucking liar.
Wow. Oh, that's aimed at Donald Trump, the fat fucking
yes,
liar.
Yes, yes. Bush.
I was thinking right. She was screaming and sobbing at President Bush, which, you know, I could see. But no, now
yeah.
I get it. Right.
Yeah. She then addressed Trump.
He is.
That
and
last...
the things that he goes off about. I mean, he picks the most detestable. I mean, really? He's going there? And yeah, he's going there.
And then he knows by going there on some detestable you know, little thing that will drive everybody crazy and get under everybody's skin. He knows by doing that, that he will have a different discussion than, you know, the discussion that he doesn't want will be forgotten. And the discussion on his new little nasty fight will be the big topic
right.
of
that'll
the day.
That'll be the diversion. That'll be what we talk about instead of
right.
whatever, you know, the fact that North Korea is ramping up the threats again.
Yeah, and we're having practice evacuations.
Yeah, based on what you know what Trump is saying, based on his threats, based on his hyperbole, we're getting all these we've got Kim Jong Il threatening bombing and saying we don't want diplomacy.
Kim Jong Un.
Sorry. It's been a long day. Yeah,
it sounds like you know you have to.
Ill was the dad.
Kim Jong Un.
Right.
I need some X-lax. Anyway, but they should put the Kim Jong Un haircut on Trump because those two are two of a kind. They are both immature hotheads.
They probably get along like Dennis Rodman. You know, gets along with Un, Kim.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
In another world, you know, if he weren't president, they'd be buds.
Yeah, who knows? But the weird thing is that the little Kim actually is more mature than Trump is. He has a more level head than Trump does about this right now. He actually speaks in language that sort of lets you know he understands the situation, whereas Trump just flies off the handle and calls names.
Yes, he is a third grader. He's got that mentality.
It's just embarrassing as hell. I mean, the world is shocked, laughing, and crying all at the same time, just like us.
Go figure.
What do you know? Anyway, Politico reported that Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner will be hosting Manchin, Heitkamp, and McCaskill for a tax reform dinner.
I think it was last night.
Was that? Oh, that was last night, because I tweeted about it today, and I want to talk about that. Bruce Bartlett, who's a historian and Reagan advisor and a bunch of other stuff, he said Jared and Ivanka are well-known experts on tax policy. What I wanted to say about that was that Manchin was on with Andrea Mitchell today.
I heard some of it. I was in the car, and I heard it. Yeah.
Okay, so you heard him basically sound excited. And he sounded enthusiastic because he said, you know, they were really listening. We got so much done. It was a two-hour dinner.
It was bipartisan.
And we really talked about all kinds of things, right? And I walked out feeling like, you know, nothing was, you know, in stone. But I felt like, you know, they were listening and hearing us. And they were letting us say what we needed to say. Well, this is exactly what the Trumps do. Trump did this when he was hiring his cabinet. He had people come in, people who weren't even up for cabinet. He had, what's his name? Oh my God, I just went blank. Al Gore come in and talk to him about the environment.
Right.
And Al Gore came out sounding hopeful. And I remember saying at the time, every single person who went up that elevator in Trump Towers said the same thing. We had a wide-ranging discussion. It was really good. And he really was listening. And I feel hopeful. Well, this is happening all over again. So Manchin goes in, and Heitkamp and McCaskill, and they're all like, yay, we got to talk. Nothing is going to happen, people.
No, of course
not. It doesn't change.
Right. Well, let's hope not. I mean, if anybody is a swing vote on that budget, it would be Heitkamp or Joe Manchin. I want to say Claire McCaskill wouldn't go there, but sure, she would.
She would. But yeah, most likely Manchin or Heitkamp. I don't want anything to be agreed upon with those people.
No.
But I'm just annoyed that Democrats walk into this little trap of feeling reassured somehow.
Right.
And indeed, nothing would ever happen.
Right. You know what? Go with your eyes open. Sure, go have dinner. They used to have bipartisan dinners all the time. They should have more of those. And from what I understand, especially in the Senate is a little more collegial than the House. They are able to, you know, talk across the aisle. Especially when they're not talking politics, they should talk politics. They should look. I've spoken to Bernie Sanders about this, and he's gotten work done with people you'd never think that he could work with. There should be more of that, but not on things this important.
Well, not only that, but there's a pattern here, and that was really what I was getting at. There's a pattern in practice of the Trumps to make everybody feel like they've had a wide-ranging conversation where things have been accomplished, and they understand them, and they listen carefully, and they're receptive, only they're not, and it never happens,
right.
And it always goes around to Trump, you know, stomping his foot and doing something stupid and getting some kind of legislation that will end up failing. So for Democrats to believe they're getting anywhere just because they seem like they're getting somewhere, they really need to, like, take a good reality check here.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens with this Alexander Murray bill, this, you know, the Obamacare fix. Well, let's see if that gets anywhere.
I don't trust anything that they're doing. But anyway, so Stone Kettle, he's amazing. He said Newt deleted his drunk tweet, but the internet never forgets, and he got a screen grab.
Newt was drunk tweeting. Oh, my goodness. This is better than Covfefe.
I don't know how I'm going to get this across, but President, P-R-E-S-I-D-E-E-N-T, Trump,
T-R-T-U-M-P.
Yes.
Was remarkably
growing in highest joint press event with Senate McConnell. His grasp of the issues is very deep and growing. Oh, what was that?
That was a drunk tweet. Yeah.
That was so bad. Oh, my God. Anyway, I wish people could see it, but it's on a piece of paper. I can't show you. Mrs. Doubtfire, screenwriter. I like to share her tweets because she's wonderful. Her name is Randy Mayam Singer.
Okay.
And she said, the new normal, POTUS joking that Vice POTUS wants to hang all the gays gets crickets, in case you were wondering how fucked we are.
Yeah. How is that funny? First of all, joking about killing gay people. Really funny dump. You know, this just goes to, there was another story that I heard last night. I didn't see it on Twitter anywhere, but on one of the shows last night about Trump laughing, thinking it's in private and laughing about Mike Pence's religious.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. That was my next thing. So Jane Mayer wrote a really in-depth article, really long. I strongly, strongly suggest you guys read it. I'm going to right now put the link into the chat room so you can look it up. It's called The Danger of President Pence. Trump's critics yearn for his exit, but Mike Pence, the corporate rights inside man, poses his own risks. And that story that you were just talking about is in this article.
Oh,
she's
really?
The one that talked about it.
Ah, okay.
And it's very long. That part that you referred to is way at the end of the article. Because I was reading and reading and reading. But it goes way into Pence's history. Pence's rise to whatever he is now and how he nearly didn't get there and how he's deeply entrenched with all these, you know, the Mercers and the Kochs and this religious stuff that we all know about.
Mother.
And she goes into how he lied about Mike Flynn, mm-hmm. and how he could very well be implicated in the Trump-Russia scandal and just every detail you would and wouldn't want to know. How his family kind of thinks he's not that bright, and just a ton of stuff. Let me go to the end and see if I can find that.
You know, while you're looking for that, the Human Rights Campaign tweeted, hours after the New Yorker reports Trump joked about Pence wanting to hang LGBTQ people, he refused to say whether being gay should be illegal.
Yes, I tweeted that. There's a video there,
mm-hmm.
and they show that. Oh, shoot, I wonder. Oh, here it is. Trump thinks Pence is great, Bannon told me, but according to a longtime associate, Trump also likes to, quote, let Pence know who's boss. A staff member from Trump's campaign recalls him mocking Pence's religiosity. He said that when people met with Trump after stopping by Pence's office, Trump would ask them, did Mike make you pray? Just right there, let me stop and say, so for all you evangelicals who think Trump is on your side because
right.
he's such a religious, pious guy, he's mocking you.
Mm-hmm.
Two sources also recalled Trump's needling Pence about his views on abortion and homosexuality. During a meeting with a legal scholar, Trump belittled Pence's determination to overturn Roe v. Wade. The legal scholar had said that if the Supreme Court did so, many states would likely legalize abortion on their own. You see, Trump asked Pence, you've wasted all this time and energy on it, and it's not going to end abortion anyway. When the conversation turned to gay rights, Trump motioned toward Pence and joked, don't ask that guy, he wants to hang them all.
Oh, God.
Oh, I forgot to hit enter on the, there we go. Anyway, here is, I'm going to get his name all wrong, Russ Ptacek, P-T-A-C-E-K. He is a reporter with VNI TV. I'm not sure it's VNI Television. An investigative reporter. He was tweeting exclusive neo-Nazi and National Front organizer quits movement, comes out as gay, opens up about Jewish heritage. And he says, my mom always told me every hater has even more powerful hate for themselves.
There you go.
Yep. What's this? I just got a news alert. Grand jury indicts white University of Maryland student on hate crime charge in Black Army lieutenant's death.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, so the story here is that a neo-Nazi and National Front organizer quit the movement, came out as gay, and opened up about his Jewish heritage. That's pretty
wow.
stunning.
That is. Well,
I didn't
know,
have time to read the story.
It's never too late to become human.
Exactly, and you know, it's not an uncommon story, actually. I mean, I've seen a number of people on videos that get passed around Twitter say, hey, I used to be with, you know, the KKK, or I used to be with this white nationalist group or Nazi, you know, neo-Nazi group. And then they go, what am I doing? What was I thinking? And they see the light. So Phil Elliott, who is a Time correspondent, the question was about Trump's health care goals. This was from today. The answer was about judges, Democrats,
mm-hmm.
largest tax cuts in history,
right.
and Schumer.
Right. No, I heard that. In fact, I pulled that. It was like a 3.5 minute answer, which he, of course, didn't answer the question.
Because he doesn't know the answer, because
right.
he doesn't know anything about health care.
Well, there's that. Although he said, I know this. I know what's in it.
Right. All right. So on the deal that was reached between Alexander and Murray, Benji Sarlin writes, and he's from NBC, oh, hey, just as Trump is calling them a bailout for insurers to raise their stock prices right now, this happened, and the deal was made. That's what I was telling you about this dueling headline thing,
right,
and how Obamacare totally trumped Trump, which was an awesome thing to happen. Two more.
Okay.
Oh, here's that timeline I was telling you about. Okay, so Sam Stein did this timeline, Trump, at 2:01:10 into two, I guess, 2 minutes, 2 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
2 o'clock.
How to
2:01.
Oh, it's Eastern time. That's
right.
Why. Yeah. 2 o'clock, 1:10. Obamacare is dead. News, 1:21. Alexander Murray reached Obamacare deal on CSR subsidies. And then Shadow Cabinet, which is 19 progressive leaders who formed to sort of debunk Trump on things. 45, Trump just lurched on immediately killing Obamacare. He instead likely hopes possible vacancies plus new senators post 2018 can pass Graham Cassidy. That ain't going to happen. Graham Cassidy isn't going to pass.
Well, what he's hoping for is that John McCain dies.
Yes.
And he's hoping that Thad Cochran never comes back from his urological problem. Apparently, he's still out with whatever is afflicting his dick.
He is, yeah.
So, you know, I guess he's hoping that with enough time, he'll have the votes. That's just what he leaves out, the with enough time.
Yeah, well, that's just disgusting. But okay.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So wait, which part of this am I reading to you? Oh, I like this. Okay, so McCain, this is from Salil Kapoor, who is with Bloomberg, and he said, McCain, on Rand Paul's objections to military spending in the budget, he said, McCain said, I don't pay any attention to Senator Paul, nor does hardly anybody else. I mean, McCain's feeling frisky right now, and he should.
He should. I just hope he sticks to it. Look, he was talking all along about, you know, regular order. And so if he goes ahead and votes for this budget without there being hearings, without there being regular order, and with them doing it on reconciliation, where they only need 50 votes, meaning only Republicans, then John McCain is as much of a hypocrite as the people he's railing against right now.
Yeah, well, I'm nervous. I don't know about you. I'm constantly in a state of total stress with this entire thing.
You and me both. I've got one from Kirsten Gillibrand, U.S. Senator, who tweeted, as Tom Marino withdraws his nomination to be drug czar, perhaps the president should stop nominating industry shills altogether.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I thought so.
The swamp. and all the S's are little dollar signs. Yeah, you know, he talks so big, and he made so many promises, and so many people still believe him, and that is the problem. They still believe he's a Christian, that you know, a practicing Christian. They believe that Mike Pence is out for them when he's actually owned by the Koch brothers and the Mercers. They believe that Trump really is pro-military. I mean, it's just unbelievable, and they're getting screwed right and left, and they can't see it.
Right. No, it's really sad. The people that just keep believing him, that believe Trump about anything, how they could listen to what he said, listen to his convoluted answer about the, you know, why haven't you said anything about the four soldiers who were killed in Niger? And listen to his, you know, the convolution that came vomiting out of his mouth about nonsense, about who calls more, and Obama and other presidents didn't call. I mean, he was so obviously fumfering the way I am right now that he couldn't, he didn't have an answer for it.
And
people still believe him and still take,
because they still think he's one of them. That's all they care about. He knows us. He gets us. He talks like us. You know, we like what he represents, and that's us. And he doesn't represent anything else. And if he's an outsider and he screws up, that's okay, because he's an outsider. He's not like the rest of them.
Right.
Well, meanwhile, he's destroying the world, not just the country, the world.
And that's you know, I was going to say, that's a good note to go out on. But I've got one more for you from USA Today. A super volcano under Yellowstone National Park could blow sooner than thought and wipe out life on Earth.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, my God.
So we've got that going for us.
Yeah. Oh. Happy. That's a good happy note to leave on.
We won't have to worry about health insurance.
That's true.
You know, got to look for
You're
that silver lining.
Yeah.
All right. Got to laugh. Always a pleasure, my dear.
Same here.
All right. We didn't even talk about Me Too. So tweet.
Oh, I know.
Hashtag Me Too. I tweeted it.
I got to do that.
Yeah, because we've all been there. Yeah. Suggested by a friend, if all the women who had been sexually harassed or assaulted wrote Me Too as a status, we might give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem. And we've all been there.
That's
right.
My next tweet.
Gotta laugh. Talk to you. I'll talk to you later. See you on the Twitters.
Okay. Absolutely. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Tomorrow on the program, someone you've met before, but you'll meet her again in more depth, Dana Steele, who was the first lady of Houston rock and roll, who's now running for Congress. So she'll join us on tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you then.